The question was asked, why does a minyan require 10 people? So let's define a little bit. Where do we need 10 people? We have a rule that things of holiness require 10 people. Now, you'll tell me everything in Judaism is holiness. You know, maybe I need 10 people to put up a mezuzah. Maybe I need 10 people to put on tefillin. Maybe I need 10 people to make a blessing. So no, there are things that are considered davar shebikdusha, things of higher holiness. What's an example of that? Saying Baruch Hu. What are you saying? You're saying to the crowd, let's bless Hashem. And then the crowd says, Baruch Hashem Amvorach. So the crowd has united. So we have two concepts that work together in unison. We have a few, actually, concepts that all interlock. Okay? We have a concept of Dover Shebekdusha, something that's a matter of sanctifying God's name. We have another concept called Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. So you think it's the same concept, right? They connect. But Kiddush Hashem is when someone does something that will sanctify God's name. For example, let's say the Romans come and tell a Jew, desecrate Shabbos or we'll kill you. And the Jew says, why do you want me to desecrate Shabbos? And they say, because we don't want you Jews to continue observing the Torah. So now he understands they're out to break us. They're trying to get us to sin, to desecrate the Torah. And he says, I'm not doing that. You can kill me, but I'm not doing that. So then he's willing to die to sanctify God's name. He's willing to die, he says, not to cave in to destroying the religion. Meaning their intent, they have no benefit out of it. All they want to do is break the religion. So if they execute him, and he is willing to give up his life, to forfeit his life in front of 10 people, so then that's called that he died al kiddush Hashem. He died sanctifying God's name, because he died with the greatest declaration that God is holy and his Torah is holy, and I'm not going to forgo it, even at the cost of my life. And if there were 10 people present, so then that's called that he did a kiddush Hashem. If they tell a Jew, bow down to this idol or we'll kill you. And the Jew says, no, I won't. And they kill him. So if there were 10 people present, that's called that he made a Kiddush Hashem, because he wasn't willing to forgo the mitzvah of Hashem. And when they killed him, he did that in the presence of 10 Jews. So that's called he was killed al Kiddush Hashem. So that's another concept of Kiddush Hashem. Now the Torah says, V'nikdashti betoch B'nei Yisrael. I get sanctified within the people of Israel. So the simple understanding of that is, where do we have this concept of Kedusha? When can you have the sanctification of God's name? When you have all the Jewish people present. Come along our sages and say no. Whenever you have 10 is representative of the whole. Having 10 people present is like having the whole Jewish people present. So when you have 10 people present and you do a Kiddush Hashem, that's called you did a Kiddush Hashem in front of the people of Israel. Because 10 is representative of the greater whole. By the same token, when you want to say something of holiness, like Kaddish, like Kedusha, yes, those are things which we say, they have extra holiness. What are you saying in the Kedusha? You're saying, let us sanctify God's name the way the angels do in heaven. Right? That's Kedusha. So you're saying something holy. You're saying, we hereby will sanctify God's name using what the prophets describe is the form of sanctification that the angels use in heaven, right? The prophet in Isaiah and Ezekiel, they describe this sanctification, that all the angels make a declaration, Kadosh, 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 God is holy, right? So you're about to do that. When can you do that? If you have 10 people present, because it's as though you have the Jewish people present. So 10 is representative of the greater whole. Be it in the form of Kiddush Hashem, where one is willing to give one's life for Kiddush Hashem, be it in the form of Kiddush Hashem when you're doing something that sanctifies God's name without giving up your life, right? Now, there's a middle ground type of thing, which is a mitzvah you do. You're on your way to shul. You walk into shul and it's Yom Kippur morning. And the year is 2009, 5 years ago. And you walk into shul Yom Kippur morning and everyone's standing there about to enter the sanctuary. So there's a group, you know, everyone's taking off their coats, 15 people. And the guard says, you know, I hear the stock market's crashing this morning. This happened in the year 2009. I remember seeing the cover of the Jerusalem Post the morning after Yom Kippur, and it showed a Reform temple with people standing with their Blackberries making trades in the middle of the Yom Kippur service. And it said, it had like this funny headline about Day of Atonement, Day of Reckoning, you know, because the stock market was crashing through Yom Kippur. So imagine an Orthodox Jew enters shul on Yom Kippur 2009, and the non-Jewish guard at the entrance to shul says, "Hey man, if you got money in the market, you better get out fast because it's been crashing all morning." And one Jew stands there, and the guard reaches out with his cell phone and says, "Here, you can access your stock account with my phone." And everyone stops laughing and looks at that guy, and the guy's trembling. And everyone knows that he has millions invested in the market. And he's trembling because he has no idea how much he's losing that moment. And he looks at the phone and he looks at the guard, and there's sheer silence in the room. No one wants to say anything because he has millions on the line. And the guy coughs and says, "Buddy, I can't. Today's a holy day. We don't touch that today." And turns around and goes into synagogue. And everyone sees that. That's called the Kiddush Hashem. What he just showed the masses is God's word is worth something. I am not going to desecrate it. And I'm the only reason, everyone knows, the only reason is because God said so. You know, if his wife would say, "Honey, I don't want you on that BlackBerry today," he'd say, "We'll talk tomorrow. Okay, I'll take you out, I'll buy you a mink coat, but I'm going on that BlackBerry right now." The only reason he didn't go to that BlackBerry, he didn't access his stocks, was because God said so. It's Yom Kippur. So when a Jew does a mitzvah and other people see it, it can be a positive. It doesn't have to be a lethal thing like the Roman telling him, "I'll kill you if you don't do." When he does a positive thing and everyone sees, wow, he obeyed the mitzvah. When you have 10 people present, that's called the Kiddush Hashem. He sanctified God's name in front of those people. So far we're okay? Okay, now your question. So why 10? Right? So we mentioned that 10 is representative of the greater whole. But there's another concept which is expanded on by the Maharal. The Maharal wrote a work about numbers. And the Maharal discusses this idea that 10 represents wholeness. It's not just a mathematical number. You know, when I was a kid, we used to work with other systems where the top number was 9 or 8 or 7. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 14, 21, 22, 23. You know, you can make other mathematical systems where the integers change. Yeah, you guys understand what I'm saying? Where 7 is the top number. You hit 7, you go on to 11. You hit 14, you go on to 21. You could have other mathematical systems. As a kid, we used to play with that. So 10 is not just an arbitrary number that was chosen. You see, in Tanakh, 10 represents wholeness. The Ten Commandments. When Abraham speaks about the cities to be saved, he said maybe there'll be 10 in each city, right? So 10 is a number that throughout the Tanakh, we find that's a number that represents wholeness. There were 10 declarations made from heaven in the formation of the world. So when the world began, 10 was the selected number for wholeness. God made 10 declarations. If you go through Genesis, you'll see Bereshis, that's number 1, God's first creation. And then 9 times it'll say Vayomer, God said, to grand total of 10. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. We find the number 10 appearing over and over again, right? So tithe, take 1 out of 10, right? Yaakov Avinu had... Okay, it's a long discussion, the 10 and Yaakov's 12 children. Whatever. But at any rate, we find this in Tanakh. So that's an idea that the Maharal represents. The Maharal discusses at length why the number 10 represents wholeness. But this we do see, that 10 represents wholeness, and then it's also logical that 10 represents the greater whole. 10 is like a whole representation of the people. Okay? So when... We'll conclude with one final point. When you have 10 people present, we say the Shekhinah is present. God's presence is more revealed when you have 10 people present. And so it's more fitting. It's like God's presence settles on that group. 10 is representative of the greater whole, and as such, when you have 10, God's presence is there as though the greater whole were there.